Good morning. You're listening to Collected Words, brought to you every Wednesday at 10 o'clock by the Collected Works bookstore. Collected Works is Santa Fe's oldest independent bookstore and your source for all things literary in downtown Santa Fe. My name is Cecile Lipworth. I'm the managing director of VDay, and I am privileged to host the show once a month. We have been talking over the past few months about art and activism based on my experience at V-Day of using theater as a way to give voice to communities, to women, and to bring the important issues of violence against women into the conversation and the dialogue. Today on my show, I'm going to be talking to two women who are involved in fiber arts and who tell the story in a very different way than theater, but in a similar vein of giving a voice to the issues in their communities. My first guest this morning is Olympia Newman. Good morning, Olympia.
Good morning.
It's so great to have you on the show. Olympia is a former textile designer who's worked internationally and locally, and developing fabrics and home furnishings and children's wear. And she's now the program manager at the Española Valley Fiber Arts Center. Tell us a little bit, what is the Fiber Arts Center in Española?
The Fiber Arts Center has been created by a very driven group of women initially. So we are over 15 years old now. And it's a center for creativity in the fiber arts. It's open to all type of fiber arts, and we offer training, we offer rental space to provide the creative space for women to develop their textiles, and a community of people who are interested in doing something that they love. So we have over 400 members or somewhere around that, and we also have a quarterly newsletter that reaches a community of over 1,500. So the community is large, and in this area particularly prominent and very active.
That's amazing. And I think one of the things that, you know, Northern New Mexico is so known for, and especially in this area, is the artistic ability of the communities to bring to the fore not just what's going on now, but also the heritage and what has been going on for centuries in arts and crafts in this area. So that's so exciting that this community exists and has been in existence for 15 years. Tell us a little bit about some of the programs that have been going on or that you're involved in and anything.
Yeah. We, besides offering classes, we also have a storefront where we can sell supplies so people can come in. And that kind of unifies people and makes them come and talk to each other. There are groups. There's a quilters group. There is a spinners group that meets. There are also knitters that meet. So it's very much of an active community that's also run by the members. In sense of the programs that we have, a very interesting program that engages the community, the larger community, and supports the heritage of weaving in this area is our project called the Heritage Blanket. And this is a fabulous thing that, you know, I want to share here with
well,
you.
Well, I actually want to just say it's so unfortunate no one can see this right now, but Olympia has brought in the most exquisite blankets that have been woven, and just really beautiful, beautiful designs, beautiful quality, gorgeous creams and grays and topes. Tell us a little bit, what is the wool? It's fascinating.
Yeah, and the wool also has a wonderful heritage. The Churro sheep have been brought here by the Spaniards, and they have a very interesting coat. They have an undercoat and an overcoat, so they actually have hair as well as wool. And so the yarn spun from this wool is rather very durable and extremely warm. And this breed has been bred in this area as well as by the Navajo since the time of the Spanish, when the Spanish came. And today it's considered a heritage breed in the United States. It has been recently registered. So it is a heritage breed, which is, you know, we use the word heritage now many times. And
what does that mean?
That they control the breeding of the animal. And so I guess, you know, I'm not 100% familiar about how they do, but it is so that the breed remains clean and is not crossbred. And there are people who are trained to identify them and actually register the individual sheep with a registry. And so really focusing on this wool is also is something very local and important to the community, because there are quite a lot of breeders of this type of sheep here in this area. So what we do is we don't necessarily buy the wool from the breeders directly. We work through the mill in the Mora spinning mill, and we buy the yarn there and then weave it within the community of Inchimayo.
And they're, again, they're absolutely beautiful. And I see everyone has a label with somebody's name on the label.
Yeah.
So each one is handmade, obviously, and then each individual weaver is recognized.
Yes, correct. And so what we do, this was a project started, but some of the women in the community, they wanted to, as they say it, give sheep a job. So that they have something else to do. Tapestry weaving is traditional. So this was just another avenue to create another product and allow other people to start weaving again. So Lee Alexander is the designer of all the patterns, and she actually manages the operation on a day-to-day basis. And we have currently a small group of weavers that we train, and then they weave. This is all hand woven on a special complex yet easy to use loom. And the weavers come from the community, and actually they are paid piecework for this for the blankets. And you know, when they talk with pride about that they have made something rather than just had a job. So
right. Well, such an important part of self-esteem and self-confidence. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between this kind of weaving and traditional Rio Grande style weaving?
Well, this is a blanket in the sense that it just doesn't, it is not as compact as a tapestry. It still has wool in one direction as well as the other. And the designs that are integrated in this are done through the loom. So the actual machine has a mechanism that allows us to have that pattern. Whereas in tapestry, it is an interlacings of the actual, the weaver does that in the, takes the bobbin with along certain warp threads and interlaces it. It is easier for a novice to achieve a pattern. Really, the loom has very few operations. It's more mechanized in the way, and allows them to just be much more focused on the weaving.
Great. And so the project, the Heritage Blanket Project, is offering many people in the community, both men and women, job opportunities and an income, as you've said.
Correct, yeah.
And really just sort of, you know, giving some sustenance to the community at large, both artistically and financially.
Yes, correct. And that was the idea at the onset of this project, that we wanted to work with a community that has a high dropout rate. You know, jobs are not readily available that are as flexible. And so the people we employ are people that have weaving in their heritage, but today's world is different and they may not have a loom at home, and so they have to come to us.
Great. We have to take a break, but we'll be right back. This is Collected Words, and you're listening to 101.5.
Looking for a new bank? If you're looking for a long-term local banking relationship, then welcome to Century Bank, a full-service bank you can trust. Stop by any one of our convenient locations or go to CenturyNetBank.com. We'd love to meet you. Century Bank. People. Relationships. Community. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
This is George Gundry from Tomasitas. I want to tell you about our red chili. We take whole sun-dried chili pods, soak them, and blend them before cooking. This is called Caribe. This is how our godmother, Tomasita Leyva, made it in 1974, and that is how we make it today. Our red chili has been grown by the same family farm in Hatch for years because simple recipes require only the best ingredients. I invite you to come taste the red and green at Tomasita's in the rail yard.
Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
Hi, Jan. I've got a couple questions about the RAV4. Would you say it looks better with daytime outfits or with evening wear?
Well, it's got a beautiful design, so I'd say it's pretty stylish with almost anything.
Love that. And it's got great cargo space, too, right?
Yep, lots of cargo space and comfortable interior. Pretty much ready for any adventure.
Perfect, because there's an amazing sale going on this weekend.
Well, that's certainly one kind of adventure.
You have no idea.
I'll take your word for it.
Experience the redesigned 2013 RAV4 with a gorgeous front-end design, chrome-accented grille, available all-wheel drive, and a whole range of comfort features. Book a test drive at your Toyota dealer today and experience the RAV4's style and comfort for yourself. Toyota, let's go places.
Visit Beaver Toyota in Santa Fe, or for more information, please log on to toyota.com. Toyota.
Homeowners, in today's world, no neighborhood is immune from burglaries. Get a state-of-the-art monitored home security system for Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, and get peace of mind today. Call right now, 1-888-213-2244, 1-888-213-2244. Local permit fees may be required. License number CAACO6320, KY City of Louisville 483, and FLEC13003427. Call for additional numbers. Call now, 1-888-213-2244.
Oh, man, what is that smell?
Oh, I just opened the lettuce crisper.
We have a lettuce crisper?
Everything gets old, even your shocks. So make sure you change your worn shocks at 50,000 miles.
What are you doing? Put the top back on. Put the top back on.
I think it's moving.
Actual mileage may vary depending on driver ability, vehicle type, and the type of driving and road conditions. Purchase 4 qualifying Monroe shocks or struts between now and October 31st and get the price of the lowest cost unit back by mail-in offer. Restrictions apply. Learn more at Monroe.com.
Hi, you're listening to Collected Words on 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe. I'm Cecile Lipworth, and in the studio with me this morning, I have Olympia Newman, and we're talking today about art and heritage, and specifically with Olympia about the Española Valley Fiber Arts Center and an incredible program they have on heritage blankets, which is which Olivia has just explained to us. Olivia, part of what you're doing is, as we were speaking just before the break, is really giving people an opportunity for income, for building their lives, as so much of art and culture and heritage art does for us. Is there any particular stories you can tell us of people who've really felt the impact of working through the Heritage Blankets program?
Yeah, I think that all the weavers have a story to tell, and they come from weaving backgrounds. You know, their uncles and grandparents have woven before, but today there are very few programs where they can actually learn and immediately start earning an income, and that is what this program has started. We offer training opportunities, so they are trained to. They learn how to operate this particular loom, and within, depending on their ability, up to between 20 to 40 hours, they can start weaving their first blanket.
Wow!
And so they come and weave a blanket usually per day. I mean, initially it may take a bit longer, but generally it takes 5 to 6 hours for someone to weave a blanket, and they can go home, basically. You know, it's a very sort of, they control their time. We also have, besides weaving, we have other tasks that have to be stitching and putting on the labels and finishing the blankets, packaging them. So all that is done through this, the members of the communities. And we tend to hire women and men who actually need this job, but who actually have a tough time finding a job because of their backgrounds or whatever their life histories have been, but also the fact that they have children, they are single parents, they need a flexible job, they want to be able to sort of pick and choose the days they can come, and that's what we have. So at the moment, we have trained actually over six to eight people by now, but on a constant basis, we have maybe three people coming in. And so the blankets have been very successful in that respect. And their lives, they see that their additional income is making a difference.
Right.
So...
Sorry, economic independence in a time when it's really hard to have any economic.
Correct. And, you know, one of the weavers, Julia, she is a single mother, and she's has been working with us now for a few months. And that independence, that extra income has really changed her life. I mean, she doesn't have an account, but she gets a check every week, and she realizes this is money that she has earned. But what I find with weaving so much more interesting is that it's not just earned money. It's actually you earn money with making a product. So you see the labor, you see it in front of your eyes that you have actually made something.
Accomplished something.
Yes.
Which I think is important. It's not only a way to earn an income, the weaving or the arts and crafts, but there are other ways it can help individuals and the community. What are some of the other ways you've seen that happen?
Well, the important for us as the center and as the project is that we want to help the community, but in ways that is traditional to them. So weaving is a tradition in this area. Applying, you know, using wool that's local is something that we want to maintain. And their lives are important to us, too, that actually they really value that heritage. You know, I might be somebody coming from afar and saying, well, this is a beautiful blanket. But to them, this is heritage.
Right. There's history and there's depth history to it, to yes. The stories behind where it comes from, mm-hmm. Which I think is really part of what interests me so much is the depth of the history and the storytelling that comes not just through verbally, but through the craft itself. Mm-hmm. And I think we see that so much here in New Mexico, in all our cultural mm-hmm. heritages. So right now, what are sort of the next steps for the project? How are people able to see the blankets, to purchase the blankets, to be a part of the community?
Well, in one way, this has started as a project. We were funded by the Santa Fe Community Foundation. And
who we love.
Who we love, yes. And this funding allowed us to start the project. And I would say with the funding, we were able to start the ball rolling, get the people trained, have them come and start weaving. And the woven blankets have been sold to retailers around. And that is a proof that actually the product is also very desirable. So that is an important marketing component, that we are not just weaving for the sake of weaving, but we are weaving something that is desired. And so the next steps for the project is, you know, to make it more, to upscale it, to sort of make it more consistent, to increase the amount of weavers that we have, to really weave every day throughout the next months to come, develop the retail connections, and obviously increase marketing. This is one of the things that we still have to do a lot more than we have done so far. So Since, for example, we rent a space in Chimayo right now, it might be opportune to cooperate with another organization where we don't have to pay rent. That would be sort of my wish, because that also eats up any kind of income we generate. That would be one. And of course, you know, help us with retail, with selling the blankets. That currently the blankets are being sold only through retailers here in the area. And I just heard yesterday that we might have an order from San Francisco. So this is the first sort of out-of-state sale, which is great. And so more of that is better for everybody.
Well, and just talking about renting space, I think it's so important. And one of the things we've been talking about in the community, and I've been gathering with a lot of women's groups and also the New Mexico Women's Foundation, is just how it's so important for all of us to come together to share resources. So if you have a space available where you can house the project, or you have other available, everyone has resources, connections, networks. And I think what we're seeing right now is how important that all is. Can you give us the website so people can go and look at the website?
Absolutely. It's the Española Valley Fiber Arts Center's website, and you go to www.evfac.org. And then on the left-hand column, you will see Heritage Blanket, and you can click on that, and you will enter into the world of the Heritage Blankets. You will see the designs. You will see, you know, a bit more explanation about the wool as well as the designs.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much for the project that you're working on, for bringing heritage back into the community, for really having people see what it is, the incredible, incredible artistry and beautiful blankets that you have. And I wish you lots of luck with the project.
Thank you so much.
And this is Collected Words, the radio show hosted by Collected Works Bookstore. And talking of art and heritage, tomorrow night, Thursday the 19th at 6 p.m., Carmela Padilla will be signing and talking about her book, Work of Art, which is a history of the folk art market and the role of folk art markets in 21st century, recognizing their power as social and creative commentators. So very much in tune with what we're discussing today. Correct. We'll be right back with my next guest.
This hour brought to you by Joe's Dining. Buying the freshest locally grown food in season is the now famous margarita pizza and caprese salad.
Do you know that you can dream heaven onto earth?
Hi, this is Mark Perry, hypnotherapist and life fulfillment coach. What if I told you that living your dream of heaven is simply a matter of the mind? Check out amatteroftheMind.com and join me this Saturday at 10 a.m. with my guest, Ginny Gentry, on my weekly show, A Matter of the Mind, on KVSF 101.5, the voice of Santa Fe, Talk 1260, and SantaFe.com.
It's playtime at Buffalo Thunder, and we're giving you great reasons to play here this month. Buffalo Thunder is proud to present the Seer, Jeff Baker.
Santa Fe's place to play Thunder.
At Buffalo Thunder.
The Seer, Jeff Baker, October 17th and 18th. Jeff Baker is a psychic, empath, mystic, and medium, and has performed in 88 countries and given thousands of readings. Tickets start at only $45. Visit BuffaloThunderResort.com for room and ticket packages. The Seer, Jeff Baker, only at Buffalo Thunder. Hey, have fun. Make great memories. It's all here. It's all at Buffalo Thunder.
Come be a guest at Buffalo Thunder.
Check out all our events and contest details at BuffaloThunderResort.com or call 877-THUNDER.
Hey, man, here, have a Coke Zero. I don't watch the game without it.
Okay.
With Coke Zero, I can have real Coke taste and zero calories. If they can do that, then what else is possible?
How about a quarterback who throws touchdown passes
and then catches them himself in the end zone?
He throws it deep. Wait, he catches his own pass. Touchdown. Weird.
Like cheerleaders who cheer
and deliver sandwiches.
Someone wanted sandwiches.
I love your sandwiches.
What if the bear mascot was a real bear?
And our linebacker!
They're going to need a lot more quarterbacks.
Coke Zero. Real Coke taste and zero calories. Enjoy everything.
Want a fail-safe way to enjoy everything this year? Head over to your neighborhood Walmart and pick up an ice-cold 20-pack of Coke Zero for $5.48. Real Coke taste and zero calories. Two amazing things combined to make one super amazing thing. If they can do that, then what else is possible? Coke Zero and Walmart. Enjoy real Coke taste and zero calories. Enjoy everything.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
A storage tank ruptured, and for miles, chemicals were pushing up against the riverbanks.
This was a big, big deal, and it was going to have a serious impact on communities up and down the river.
I remember the moment. This local guy came up to me and said, "They call the guard out for this stuff?"
You probably thought we were all about hurricanes, tornadoes, fighting Mother Nature.
Hey, it's a chemical spill. It's a disaster.
It affects the water supply, threatens wildlife.
We're talking about the health of entire communities and people's livelihoods.
You bet we're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We're responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, "I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up."
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the New Mexico National Guard. Aired by the New Mexico Broadcasters Association and this station.
Morning, you're listening to Collected Words on 101.5, the Voice of Santa Fe. Collected Words is hosted by Collected Works Bookstore, Santa Fe's oldest bookstore in the heart of downtown Santa Fe on Galisteo Street. My name is Cecile Lipworth, and this morning in the studio I've had Olympia Newman, and we've been speaking about art and heritage and how our heritage is often an amazing way for us to tell the story and to bring the stories of our past back to the times now, and how it relates to what we're doing and what we're seeing and what we should remember. On the phone with us is my next guest, Bernice Steinhardt. Good morning, Bernice.
Good morning, Cecile.
I'm so happy to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
So, Bernice, I met you a couple of months ago in Santa Fe, and we really, the story that you have to tell about art and tapestry and fiber all has to do with your mom, who was a Holocaust survivor. And it's one of the most fascinating stories I've actually heard. And being a young Jewish woman, I've heard many stories about the Holocaust. But can you tell us a little bit about your mother's work and what it is that we want to bring to the fore today on the show?
Well, first, just by way of background, let me tell you a little bit about my mother's history. My mother grew up in a little tiny village in the center of Poland. And in 1939, when the war broke out, the German army came directly to her village, and they occupied it for 3 years. And then in 1942, they ordered all the Jews of her village to report to a nearby train station. My mother, having lived through 3 years of German occupation, didn't want to go, and she was hopeful that she could strike out on her own. And so she, in fact, took her sister. She was 15 years old at the time, and she took her 13-year-old sister, and they said goodbye to their family, and they never saw them again. And instead, my mother created new identities for them as Polish Catholic farm girls, and they eventually came to a village that was willing to take them in, and that was how they were able to survive until the village was liberated by the Soviet Army, but that was how they were able to survive the war. When I was growing up, my mother always told me about her life, not only her survival during the war, but about her childhood before the war. And to me, growing up, I grew up in Brooklyn, so my whole world was very urban and 20th century. But my mother, her world was out of a different, completely different time and place. It could have been in the 19th century or even earlier, that's how different her life was. So her stories were just endlessly fascinating and gripping and compelling to me because she was a very brave and resourceful person.
Which is, and so incredible, the whole story of survival. And one wonders how a young girl of 15 and her sister really do survive such such trauma and such hardship. But what eventually led to her creating this beautiful artwork that we're going to discuss?
Well, as I said, she always wanted, she always talked about her experiences, you know, and you probably know this from your own experience, Cecile. There are many Holocaust survivors who couldn't talk about what happened to them, but my mother couldn't not talk about what happened to her. It was very important to her to share her stories. And but when she was about 50, she decided that she really wanted me and my sister to be able to see what her home and her family looked like. She had never been trained as an artist. She never actually learned to draw, but she could sew anything. She was just an incredibly gifted seamstress. So she took a large piece of fabric, and she generally sketched out her house and her neighbor's house and all the members of her family, and then she just filled it in entirely with these incredible, with this incredible stitching. And it was beautiful, just stunning. She gave that one to me, and she created a companion piece for my sister. And then about 10 years later, she went back to these memory pictures. And this time, she started adding stitched captions beneath the pictures. And she found, she hit upon a way to tell her story, the stories that she had always told orally, but she found a way to communicate them visually as well as in narrative. And once she came upon that, then she just continued really until she died.
It's unbelievable. For anyone who's at home right now and who has access to the internet, if you go onto the site and look at the tapestries there, artandremembrance.org, while we're talking, it's really fascinating. These are huge pieces of art, right, Bernice?
Yeah, they range in size from about four feet by 4 feet, and even the smallest are about 2 feet. By 2 feet. So they're very large pieces and with incredible, incredible detail.
So, you know, I know that through, you know, the Jewish culture, we've always been taught to remember the Holocaust and to so that it never happens again. And yet here we are in the 21st century and there are Holocausts all over the world. You and your sister founded Art and Remembrances, Art and Remembrance to really foster understanding and compassion for others who experience injustice. Tell us a little bit about the organization Art and Remembrance and what it is you want to accomplish through it.
Yeah. We set up Art and Remembrance, actually this year is our 10th anniversary. And when we created it, first of all, we knew that we wanted to be able to share my mother's work with a wide audience. My mother created the work really just for me and my sister. She always thought of it as something to pass on to her daughters and then ultimately to her grandchildren as well. But as she created them and once we saw that this was a remarkable series of artworks, we realized that they needed to be out in the world and shared with the world. And so we created, we wanted first for Art and Remembrance to create a traveling exhibit. We ultimately published a book, Memories of Survival, and then most recently a film called Through the Eye of the Needle, which was actually screened at the Santa Fe Jewish Film Festival earlier this year. But we also felt that my mother's story could connect to contemporary audiences in a way that could both educate them and inspire them. We saw that they had tremendous potential as a teaching tool for young people, because my mother, of course, was a teenager during the war. She spent her entire adolescence in the war, and her perspective in telling her story later in life was still that of a girl.
Right.
But we saw that it could not only convey the experiences of her experiences of the time, the experience of racism and intolerance, prejudice, but it could also help other people, and we hope that it would be an inspiration to other people to help them find their voice, to share their own stories about their experiences, which, as you point out, are still with us in the world today.
Right, and I'd love to get a little bit more into some of that. You know, it, as you said, it was 70 years ago. So how have you found the story resonating for people today when you show the pieces of the tapestries and when you do the traveling exhibit? What is sort of the reaction you're getting when people see these pieces?
Well, I'll tell you a story about one audience that saw the film about my mother. This was a group of people in my community. I live outside of Washington, D.C., who were here, who are relatively recent immigrants to the United States, and who came mostly from Central America and knew very little, if anything, about the Holocaust. But when they came to learn about my mother's story and to see the artwork that she created, they were incredibly moved by it and could relate to it on a very personal level, because they too had had to leave their home and families behind. They too had had to fear for their safety and for their lives. They too had had to come to a new country and make their way, and came here in search of well-being,
right,
and opportunity. And so it strikes a chord with different audiences, people whose experiences on the surface are very different from my mother's, but at core have a common thread. I think that's what touches people the most. My mother's story, although it is a Holocaust story, my mother did this to share it with her children. She did it so that her memories of the family she lost could be preserved for the family that she created.
Right.
That feeling of family, that need to tell a story of family, is universal. It's at the core of our humanity.
Absolutely. As an immigrant myself,
yes.
Any time that I can connect to my South African roots and my family there and relay that to my child and to the people that surround me here is such an important piece of it. And I think what I've learned through my work through V-Day, and obviously, and you and I had this conversation when we met, but that the universality of our story really brings us together. And when people start to understand that, they see that the differences we fight over are really meaningless, because we all have the same story of wanting to feel connected to one another, to our families, to our heritage, regardless of where we are in the world. We have
Absolutely.
To take a break, Bernice, but we'll be right back with you. This is Collected Words on 101.5.
Marty Links de Santa Fe is fun for the whole family. New low rates, affordable golf, lessons, and friendly staff are what makes Marty Sanchez Links de Santa Fe your golf course of choice. Play a full 18 holes or try the great 28 when time is tight. Call the pro shop to set up your next tee time at 955-4400. Or for more information, visit them at linksdesantafe.com. Marty Sanchez Links de Santa Fe, your golf course of choice. Check them out on Twitter and Facebook.
Last year, New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union returned $4 million to members in loan rebates and bonus dividends. Members earned not just for checking accounts and auto loans, but mortgages, credit cards, and equity loans too. Did you earn your return? How will you earn your return this year? Go to nmefcu.org and calculate just how much you can earn. That's New Mexico Educators. That's the power of we. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender.
The tents are up and the prices are down for Beavertown's biggest sale of the year. How big is it? This sale is so big that one location isn't enough. So Beaver is taking hundreds of new and pre-owned vehicles to the Santa Fe Place Mall. So big that Beaver has cars starting at just $49.98. That's right, as low as $49.98. 2012 Corolla starting at $13.9. 2012 Camry starting at $15.9. Beaver's biggest sale is so big that Beaver slashed the price on everything in stock. All makes, all models. Savings up to $10,000. Beaver has one of the biggest selections of pre-owned vehicles in the state, and they're all on sale. We put up the tents and knock down the prices. Plus, no payments for 90 days. Beaver will give you a $25 gift card just for doing a test drive. Wow! You've waited long enough. It's finally time. It's Beaver Toyota's biggest sale of the year. Log on to BeaverToyota.com for complete details or call 1-866-BEAVER-TOYOTA. That's 1-866-232-8378. One more time. 1-866-232-8378. Now through Sunday at the Santa Fe Place Mall. Gates open at 9 a.m. sharp. Don't you dare miss it.
Imagine yourself waking up to the beautiful Santa Fe sun in your new home at Turquoise Trail. You love living in a brand new home with the peace of mind that comes with a 10-year warranty. Your energy-efficient home has everything from an insulated front door to dual-pane low-end windows, programmable forced air heating, a large 50-gallon water heater making your shower more relaxing. Even the insulation and appliances contribute to your energy savings, and you'll be thrilled about the refrigerated air. The four neighborhood parks, walking trails, open space, southwestern landscape, and convenient access to shopping and schools are what you've always wanted. Come out to Turquoise Trail Homes on Saturday and Sunday for the Neighbor to Neighbor Food Drive and receive $500 towards options on your new home by simply donating canned food. First-time buyers can purchase for only $500 down through the MFA loan program, and preferred lenders will be available to answer loan qualification questions. Turquoise Trail Homes welcomes you. Visit turquoisetrailhomes.com.
When your business is too quiet, all you need is to turn up the volume. And at Hutton Broadcasting, that's what we do best. Join us for a free, that's right, free seminar on how to turn up the volume for your business. Learn about consumer trends, the importance of effective branding, social media, and how to make your business the top of everyone's mind. This 60-minute presentation is specifically designed to keep all Santa Fe small business owners up to date on important marketing information to make your business a success. Our speaker, Jim Glover, founder of the Idea Group of Santa Fe and co-host of the show Ask Those Branding Guys on KVSF 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe, will take you through techniques to pump up the volume for your business, gaining market share and increasing sales. This free event will be September 17th, 18th, and 19th at the Courtyard Marriott right here in Santa Fe. Space is limited, so don't miss out on this great opportunity to learn how to grow your business. For more information, visit santafe.com, keyword seminar. We'll see you there.
This is 101.5, The Voice of Santa Fe. You're listening to Collected Words. I'm Cecile Lipworth. On the phone, we have Bernice Steinhardt, who's the founder of Art and Remembrance, an organization that utilizes Bernice's mother's exquisite tapestries she made, telling the story of her survival in the Holocaust and the stories of her family that she left behind. Bernice, again, thanks for being with us. Just before we broke, we were just talking about sort of the universality of our stories, how healing it is for us to hear from other artists and to sort of see this connection, whether it's immigrants from Central America, as you said, coming in, seeing your mother's story and her immigration and her process and her story. I know you had some psychologists during the filming who actually spoke about the healing nature of art and stitching and tapestry. Can you talk a little bit about that with us?
You know, my mother, the act of stitching, I just want to reflect on the act of stitching itself. Can be very, very therapeutic. You know, it's a very slow and meditative kind of process. And I think that in itself was very healing for my mother. But recently, I just came upon this audio tape that my was actually a radio interview of my mother during a Holocaust remembrance week years ago. And the interviewer asked her whether it was painful to recall her memories. And my mother said that actually the more she talked about it, the more it relieved the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And she pointed out that some people don't open up. They don't want to talk about it. But she said, but I do want to talk about it. And why she wanted to talk about it was because she didn't want her family to be forgotten. It was so important to her to keep their memories alive. And I think finding a way to do that, that would preserve their memories for her children,
right,
for her children's children, was therapeutic in itself.
Right. And, you know, I know through just through the performance part of what I do at V-Day, how healing and therapeutic it is for women to sit up in a room, watch a performance of the Vagina Monologues, and then have their own voice and their own story just be heard. It's not about anything else other than standing up and saying, I need to be counted. I have a voice. I have a story. And it's not that I need, you know, everyone rushing around me to heal me. I just want my story to be out there, you know, so that I have a voice around it, and that it doesn't happen.
I think that's so vital. Before the break, we were just talking about finding that common core of humanity. And actually, if there is one of many lessons of the Holocaust, it's to focus on not on what divides us, not on the differences between people, how they look or how they behave or how they act, but to look for what brings us together,
mm-hmm,
what unites us. And I think being able to share one's story, to be able to tell your story to another person and hear their story in turn, is a way of bringing us together and to experience that common humanity.
Yeah, and I have to say, I'm in awe of people who can put the story down, whether it's books, you know, that are at Collected Works bookstore, or through the art that your mother does, or through the theater. It's an incredible gift to be able to continue to tell stories, and because that, you know, the oral history of our lives, to be put it down in some art form is truly extraordinary. We don't have much time, but I wanted to just hear a little bit. Can you tell us a little bit about where the traveling exhibit is going? Is there any chance we can bring it to Santa Fe? Olympia is still in the studio with me right now. She's been listening to us talk, and she was like, oh, my God, she wants to bring you to Española to come and talk as well to, you know, here. And I know we've discussed the potential of that. So can you tell us a little bit about where people can see the tapestries in person?
Yes. Well, as I said, when we started Art and Remembrance, my goal in particular, since I had all of this artwork in my house, my goal was to get it out of my house and into the world. And so I'm so thrilled when it travels around and when audiences in many different places respond to it. It's now, actually, it was in Baltimore at the American Visionary Art Museum this past year. It's been to about a dozen museums around the United States, and it is now in Florida at the Florida Holocaust Museum in St. Petersburg, opening next week. I will, in fact, be down there on September 26th for an opening reception. And afterwards, we have a couple of other venues lined up into 2014. But I would love to bring the work to Santa Fe, since Santa Fe is now my second home, and I have friends and because in Santa Fe, but also because art and traditional arts are so much a part of what makes Santa Fe an incredibly wonderful place to live. And so the idea of sharing my mother's work in and around Santa Fe is one that would be very meaningful to me. And I'd love to see how we can bring the original artwork there. Please let Olivia know. Olivia, I guess I can speak to you directly.
Olivia.
yes. I would be more than happy to follow up with you and to share my work and experiences with you and your colleagues.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great. And as you said, Bernice, you know, I think that New Mexico has such a rich heritage itself, as well as, you know, a lot of immigrants who could relate to the story. And I think it would be fantastic to have you here doing some workshops and doing some talks and discussions and bringing the artwork. So we're all going to work to make that happen.
Yes, you're welcome to come to Española and make a presentation and show us the work. I think some of the five artisans, particularly people that are doing embroidery, a very traditional form here, would love to see it, because I think that will also inspire them.
So. Well, this is arts activism in action. Let's
Absolutely.
Make it happen.
Absolutely. So, you know, great welcome. And I think Cecile will make the connection between the two of us.
It's really exciting. And thank you so much, Bernice, for joining us by phone. I really appreciate it. And obviously next year when you're here in the summer and we make it all work and happen, as we all do through our networks and connections, I'd love to have you back on the show to talk more about it. And we look forward to speaking with you again.
It would be my great pleasure.
Great.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks. So if you would like to see anything more about the Española Valley Fiber Arts Center and the Heritage Blankets, you can go to their website on evfac.org and then look at the Heritage Blankets tab. And if you want to learn more about Bernice's mother's tapestry and artwork, please go to artandremembrance.org and you can have a look at the work there. In addition, this week, just to remind you again, tomorrow night, Thursday the 19th at 6 p.m., Carmela Padilla will be signing and talking about her book, Work of Art, The History of the Folk Art Market and the Role of Folk Arts Artists. And then on Saturday, the 21st of September at 4 p.m., Peggy Van Halstai, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, is signing and talking about her book, Yoga and Parkinson's. Peggy herself is a Parkinson's, has Parkinson's, and is the leading advocate on the subject right now, talking about yoga and its impact and effect on how it can help reduce some of the side effects of Parkinson's. So please join us at Collected Works this weekend for some exciting events. Their website is collectedworksbookstore.com. And I just want to say thank you for listening to us talk today.